You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Producer James Tapp reports on a green private school in Taranaki receiving government funding. Here's James.
Yesterday afternoon, we saw James Short announce as part of the COVID-19 recovery fund, $11.7 million going towards the Green School, a privately owned school in Taranaki, which focuses on providing schooling without exams and a focus on the environment. This is the second of its kind in the world, with the first one being in Bali. Since the funding announcement, there has been a backlash as there is need across the country for new buildings, repairs and renovations of schools, with anger that it went to a private school with fees reaching $43,000 for international students. There's been particular anger coming from the Taranaki region, with many schools needing desperate funding. There has also been criticism of James Shaw, as this move goes against the Greens' policy, which states a complete movement away from private schooling. Firstly, to understand more about the Green School and their situation, I talked to their CEO, Chris Edwards, and started off by asking what makes the school different.
I'd argue it was profoundly different in a number of elements. Perhaps the big two are, first of all, the educational program. So it's nature-based, it's examination-free, it has a bespoke diploma at the top end of the school. And what we've done is essentially try to distill the quintessence of Green School Bali and put it in a New Zealand context. So programmatically, and in terms of our educational philosophy, I would say that the sum of the parts makes it unique, quite unique. And then the second unusual aspect is the fact that, to the best of my knowledge, it is New Zealand's only destination school. So in other words, we have no boarding facilities, we have no homestay facilities. We're asking families to move to Taranaki from around the world and to create a community, a creative and intellectual community of parents, as well as learners, that is going to be mission aligned. So with the Green School mission. So I'm not aware any other school in New Zealand has taken that approach for actually inviting people to come and live in this country and be part of the community.
So these concepts are, they're different from your regular school. Do you think these sort of practices could be put into more schools around the country, particularly focusing on, like, say, sustainability and connection to the environment?
Yeah, I think I just say, James, that I'm relatively new to New Zealand. I'm only 10 months old in the country. So the first thing that I observe is that next to other countries whose systems I'm reasonably familiar with, New Zealand is one of the most progressive and permissive in the world. So I think there's a lot of amazing stuff happening in New Zealand already that isn't happening in other countries. That would be the first observation. The second observation, yes. I mean, the research points to whether it's nature-based education or examination-free education being really efficacious for so many young people. I think there's a lot of vested interest in the status quo, not just in New Zealand, but around the world, perhaps even less so than New Zealand.
So you mentioned that the Green School doesn't have, like, a boarding facility and instead asks families to come and move to Taranaki. How does the school help families make sure they put down their roots?
Well, on a micro level, we've taken an idea from Green School Bali, which is called The Bridge. And The Bridge is a physical building and a space around it on campus for parents. So in helping create the parent community and helping to encourage dialect and dialogue between parents, we actually have a space on campus where they can come and they can work from there. So, you know, they've got their super fast Wi-Fi, they can buy coffee. And as we've all learned post-COVID, if you're running a business, you don't need to sit on top of a skyscraper and spend 4 hours of your day in a car commuting. You can do it from a beautiful field in New Zealand looking at a volcano or from the jungle in Bali. And you can change your life completely. So that's perhaps the first and maybe the most significant thing, that the school itself is for the parents. It's part for the parent community too. We also have parents helping to co-create the diploma. We have a lot of expertise in the parental body. So we reach out to them instead of saying, right, this is what your child's going to do, take it or leave it. This is the curriculum. We reach out and say, look, can you help us develop the curriculum? Bring your ideas, you know, whatever area you work in. So there's an awful lot happening on school itself. And then I think the second thing, James, here, because obviously, I don't know if you're familiar with Taranaki or from Taranaki or whether you've never been, but
I've been around it before.
It isn't a big population center. So it's very important, actually, that parents are not just in physical proximity to the school, etc. It's very important that they forge those links of their own accord and that we give them opportunities to do that. So when people come from overseas, you know, we assist them with finding accommodation, etc. Make them feel as welcome as we possibly can. But most importantly, then put them in touch with other parents.
How long has the school been around for, firstly? Is it...
It's super new. It opened this February and then it closed in March because of the lockdown. And the borders haven't been open yet in terms of graduates and so forth yet. There is no proof of concept. And aside from Bali, it's all work in progress.
Okay. So it's probably a little too early to say, are there plans to have more green schools across New Zealand in the future?
No, I think it's a compelling question. Green school is an international movement. So the first one is Bali, the second one is New Zealand, next year South Africa and Mexico open. COVID permitting. Everything I say is COVID permitting, obviously.
Okay, so after it was announced that the government gave funding to the school, there was backlash. So I was just wondering, why was it necessary that the school got funding at such a considerable amount?
Yeah, so I think that I understand if people just read a headline, why they might think A, if they then read the details, the details say B. And B is that the funding is for a build. And it's for a build that will employ 200 people. And it's for a build that will enable us to expand to 250 and, by the government estimates, bring in $43 million a year to the community. There's people coming in. So we really have to be crystal clear about this. The funding is not that we can go and get teachers or further research on our academic programs, whatever. It's specifically for building phase two. And then that will enable us to generate the income for the community in Taranaki. And the jobs, the estimate is 200 jobs as well.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to say, I know ultimately it wasn't your decision whether the funding was received. But I was going to say, what are your opinions on, say, the government putting more investment into public schools, which have been underfunded in some areas or desperately asking for funding before, say, looking at somewhere like Green School, which is a privately funded school?
Yeah, so I don't think it's one or the other, because this fund is a build fund for jobs and economy. It's not funding education programs or whatever. So my own view as somebody who is new to New Zealand, and I don't have experience of the New Zealand school system, so I think this all has to be as upfront from me, is that I don't think there's anything more important in the world than funding good education around the world. And, you know, if you look at the country I come from originally, anyway, from the UK, I think there are many schools underfunded there. I'm much happier talking about the UK because I'm far more familiar with it. So you will never hear me say that schools shouldn't receive funding. Absolutely, they should. But the funding here is funding for a build and jobs and the money that then comes into the economy.
Okay.
So that's the difference in being a destination school, I guess.
In an effort to understand what the demand is like for schools around the country, as well as the opinions of funding a private school, I talked to Paul Goulter, the National Secretary of NZEI Te Reo Roa, and started off by asking whether this was justifiable as a construction project.
I don't think that's a particularly good way to argue the case, because the same jobs would be created if the construction was done in public schooling as well.
And so if the funding that the Green School got, which was just over $11 million, was given to public schools, what would the possibilities be?
Well, you pretty much find any school in the country, and Taranaki's no different, has got significant building issues with expanding student numbers, etc., new ways of teaching and learning, that sort of thing. And so there's no difficulty at all about finding building projects in the Taranaki, or indeed anywhere, that would create the same number of jobs, but actually be a public investment in public education rather than a public investment in private education, which the Greens have traditionally been very opposed to.
I was going to say, do you agree with the Greens' policy to be phasing out private schools in favour of having a whole country public schooling system?
Yes, NZ Aotearoa has always been very strong on this point. We think any student's best school should be their local public school. We believe that public education is a public good, and to privatise it in any way and direct monies into private pockets, we just reject strongly. And we've always had that view. So in this case, to see it happening with this project in a private school in the Taranaki is just not acceptable in our view, and is indeed contrary to Green policy as well.
Now, how does NZEA feel about the funding going to a school where half of its students are coming from overseas? And I mean, part of the justification that's being put behind that is that it allows for community growth.
Well, I mean, fundamentally, if you look at the difficulty schools are facing now and universities with the drop-off of income from international students, and which really reveals the fragility of that supply chain, and that was always being predictable, I'm a bit of a loss to know why you'd create a business model from scratch that is reliant on international students when that supply chain is so fragile. I know lots of schools in New Zealand have traditionally had international students, and that's got on for a while, and this was there. But why you'd want to fund something from scratch, I have no idea.
Now, looking into the future, because, I mean, the Green School does bring in a lot of concepts that public schools might not necessarily be able to incorporate into their own systems. So can we see some of the practices they have around, say, sustainability and the environment incorporated into the public schooling system if they are proven to be quite successful?
Well, lots of public schools are doing lots of good things in the climate space, in the green space. They run into problems with funds, of course. And so you don't need to create another school that can model good practice, when in fact, right across the schooling system in New Zealand, there is actually really good practice in place. And in fact, it could go a lot further. There's a big appetite for this to actually go a lot further than where they currently go, but they just keep hitting a wall around resourcing. So the government, to its credit, has been supportive of this. They've tried to take coal-fired boilers out of schools, for example, which is a good thing, but fundamentally this needs to go a lot further. I think it's a really interesting question you ask, because it touches on this notion of just transition. How do you transit from a heavily carbon economy to a renewables economy with suitable climate safeguards? And schools are a big part of that, both in their own practices, but also in what they work with their students and how they work with local communities. Lots of people don't sort of get the fact that if you're closing down heavily carbonised industries and those jobs move elsewhere, the schools shut, and the early childhood centres shut as well. So there's a pretty much an immediate knock-on impact into schooling, into education locally. So our members, teachers and principals and support staff and people from the ministry are really keen to try and get on top of this problem. And it's a whole of school issue, not just a privileged school in this case, in the Taranaki.
I'm disappointed by the government these days. Sometimes they just need a good kick in the backside.
The Wire. That was producer James Tapp talking to Chris Edwards of Green School, who is of Green School, and Paul Golter of NZEI Te Reo Roa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.